This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, you give us a tough gospel today, a gospel of total surrender to you. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, our very bodies, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. I have a friend who gave me permission to tell you this story. About a month ago, he hurt his back, really wrenched his back to the point that he could hardly walk. So he sought medical attention and started to feel better. And then about 2 weeks ago, he came home and realized that he had to change the litter box for his cats, and he emptied out the dirty litter into a bag, and he filled the box with clean litter, and then he turned to tie up the bag of the dirty litter, and he wrenched his back all over again and worse. And all he could do was to let himself fall to the ground gently and lay there. He could not move, and he was in agony, lying between the cat litter and the dirty bag. Now, I used to have cats, but changing the litter was never anything that I enjoyed. Probably nobody enjoys. Makes me kind of gag to think about. So he's laying there, and one of the cats came and sat on his chest and starts purring, and the other one decided that he was going to check out the new litter. Try it out. And he's laying there. He said all he could do was surrender. And he started to laugh. He laughed. And he said that moment got him through the next 20 minutes until he could move. He said he found that place. That place of total surrender. Our gospel today is asking us, if we are choosing to follow Christ, that is, to totally surrender. This can be a very tough gospel. And many of you know the paraphrase called The Message, and it's frequently really helpful, as it is today. So I encourage you, when you go home, if you look it up online, it's free, just put in The Message online and read today's gospel in the paraphrase from Eugene Peterson. It doesn't take the place of the gospel, but it helps us understand. Today's was very helpful. These words were spoken to the disciples, to those that were saying that they were going to follow Jesus. And we have to remember that this is Luke's gospel. So before we get into the gospel itself for today, I'd like to give you a little background of where we are in the ministry of Jesus and how he got to this point. It's fairly early on in his ministry. So he was born. He grew up. He was baptized by his cousin John. He went out into the desert, and he resisted the temptation of the devil. He comes back in. First thing he does, he goes to the temple. He's handed the scroll of Isaiah. He reads from it. His inaugural address, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, oppressed to be freed, debts forgiven. Well, everybody's shocked, but they all love him at this point, but quickly turn from that honeymoon phase to the point that they wanted to throw him over the cliff. You might remember this from a few weeks ago. Then he doesn't care. He goes on, passes right through them, goes on teaching, casting out demons. He heals Simon's mother-in-law, heals many, many more, casts out more demons. And now the crowds are kind of conflicted. They're not sure. Maybe I do want to follow this guy. Look at all this stuff. He has the miraculous catch of fish that we heard about 2 weeks ago. There's more healing. There's more curing. The lame walk. He dines with tax collectors and sinners and all those that everybody else would shun. He taught in parables. And he broke the law, saying that he couldn't work on the Sabbath so that he could feed his disciples and heal the man with the withered hand. People began to really notice, and word had spread everywhere. And after all this, just before today's gospel, what does he do? He goes up on the mountain to pray all night long. All night long, he goes up on the mountain to pray. And I'd like you to think about all those interactions that he's had up to this moment, all those personal deepenings of relationships. And you can understand it because this is Luke's gospel. Luke and his community wrote about personal interactions. Luke was a physician. So, of course, his is going to be about that personal touch, touchy-feely in a good way, to accentuate that that's where that love connection happens. And so this gospel also is the one that is the only one that teaches us about the birth of Christ, about angels and Mary. It's kind of surprising, really, but then it makes sense when you consider Luke and his community. So, all right, he's taken all this time, all night long, no disciples yet, and he decides, maybe I need some help in this ministry. So he calls his 12 disciples, and they must have just been hanging out on the mountain waiting for him, because it just says he called the 12 disciples. There's no story about a walk along the beach or anything in Luke's gospel. They're just with him. And then he comes down from the mountain, and that's what starts our gospel today. He has just called his disciples. He sits down, most likely, to teach, because that's what teachers did in those days. And the text tells us he looked up at the disciples, and he gave them the four blessings and the four woes. But just before that in the gospel, if you notice, it said that there was a large crowd. And then, as if we didn't hear it the first time, he says there was a multitude of people, and they came from all over. It was a span of about 300 miles, like from here to Jacksonville. It was the coast of Tyre and Sidon, all the way down to Jerusalem. And scholars think he was probably somewhere in the middle, so he's gathered all these people. That's a long way. Be halfway up this coast, and people are coming down from Jacksonville and going up from here. And the healing energy is pouring out of him. Everybody is getting healed. No wonder they're all following him, healed in body, mind, and spirit. This time, when he's looking right up at the disciples and he's saying, okay, you want to follow me? Here's the deal. Blessed are the poor and the hungry. And here's where the message comes in handy. When you've lost everything and you're empty, you can surrender to God and rely on God alone. We certainly saw that down in the Dominican Republic. People joyful in their abject poverty. And it's not that God wants them to be poor. That isn't what this is saying. It's saying that even in that, when you realize you have nothing, you can give it up for God, surrendering completely. Blessed are you who are weeping. When tears flow freely, completely, there's a depth that you reach when you're really brave enough to risk being vulnerable, to weep, then the joy that is felt is like none other, none other. Forgive me if I have told you this story before, but I think that it's a perfect story to depict this joy that comes after a depth of despair and weeping. So many of you know that my daughter was killed in a car crash some 16 years ago now, believe it or not, back in 2003. And about 2 months after that, our dog got really sick with cancer and had to be put down, and I was the only one that could take him to the vet. And this vet was a lifelong family veterinarian. He had 5 children of his own, wonderful man. And so he tells me, yes, Ryder needs to be put down, and he said, do you want to stay in the room when we give him the injection? And I said, no, you know, I think in light of Katie, I'm just going to leave. He says, what do you mean in light of Katie? Well, I figured the whole world knew. He didn't know about her passing. And so I told him, and this dear man, tears start coming down his face. Well, the nurse walks in the door, and she takes one look at him, and she looks at me, and she looks at the dog, and she said, "He must have really loved your dog." If he had not risked being vulnerable, we would not have found that space. That space. We laughed, and we laughed hard. And it was such a release. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. The last blessing, said Jesus, was if you are hated because of the truth about God. Now, here's where the message helps again. The truth was too close for comfort for those who hated you. They couldn't take the truth of how loved they were. They couldn't handle it. That's how Jesus was being treated too. He's saying, God's got you. Give away your life and you'll find peace. Total surrender. And the woes? It's not that having money or being full after a meal or when you laugh that it's not okay. Jesus is saying, you can have all the money, all the best food, all the delicacies to overflowing, laugh all the time, have everybody's approval and envy, but if your life is not deep and connected to other people and giving back, in loving your neighbor as yourself, if you're not following in that way of love, totally surrendered, woe and misery will be yours. And yet, we don't always get there. We can't always do that. Humans that we are. And so the beauty of that is that when we don't, we can return to God. That was the whole point of Paul talking about this resurrection of Jesus that gives us hope to live as Easter people. So that when we fall down, we come back. We fall down, we come back. We fall down, we come back. And we don't do it alone. We hold one another up. So that when you struggle, I help you. When I struggle, you help me. One more illustration. In this week, when we have another horrific murdering of people in gun violence, there was a story on NPR about a woman who was a survivor from Parkland, and she was talking, and she said that when people come up to her and say, "You are such an inspiration, you are so strong," she says, "It doesn't help at all. I'm not an inspiration," she said, "I ran from a shooter. I am not an inspiration." She said, "What helps is when people come up and they say, 'That is tough. I have no words.'" And she says back to them, "I have no words either. But now we have no words together." They surrender to being authentic and truthful and just being with one another and surrendering to that which is beyond us. There's a beautiful, beautiful passage in Proverbs that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path." Who else would you trust with your life? Amen.